The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Babes
show.
Bro.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to this week's episode of Babes on Broad. I am Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Town, and we're back to talk about all things Philadelphia. We're brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You can find our podcasts on BGM Radio, on iTunes, or type in Bleeding Green Nation anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you should be able to find us. And then you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Babes on Broad. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SamWills18. And then you can follow Jess at JessTown with an E13 on Twitter. And then on Instagram at Jessica_Town with an E. And then now you can also rep us if you want to match us or just rep us and tell all your friends about us. You can get some of our merchandise on designtree.com/babesonbroad and design spelled DSGN. tree.com/babesonbro. So now we teased it a little bit earlier in episode 7. It's Dallas week.
Dallas sucks.
Look,
and
that's
the
what
episode
I have.
Is over.
My
Dallas
show
sucks.
Sheet.
Goodbye.
Dallas sucks is my number one in all caps.
We do on the madness every week. We do like a 5 things we learned about the NFL this week, and number 5 for me every single week is Dak sucks. Every week without fail, Dak sucks.
Well, no, it's funny. So I always post the podcast after the show for 97.5, mm-hmm. like our morning show. And this whole week, I've been hashtagging Dak sucks, Dallas sucks,
amazing.
Cowboys suck.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Because they do suck.
Yeah.
They lost to the Jets. They
and
suck.
And we beat the Jets.
And we beat the Jets by a lot. And everyone wanted to be like, oh, it's the Jets. No. The Jets have a very good defense.
Want to know who else they lost to that we beat?
Who?
Green Bay.
True.
Anybody actually... No, because the Jets aren't even good. I'm going to be like, anybody worth, like, beating, they didn't beat. But the Jets, they're... I mean, I'm confused by that. I don't know. I confuse myself.
Yeah, so you just confuse yourself, and you confuse me, too. Who? Which one were you talking... The Eagles?
Wait, no. So let me try to get my thought process. I was going to say...
It's been a long day for Sam, apparently.
It really has. But so, whoever worth losing to... So, like, they didn't have good losses, what I'm basically saying.
Yes.
And their wins... We're not good wins either.
Yes.
They played poop teams. Anybody worth, like, beating?
They
That's what
beat.
I meant. Okay.
There it is.
Anybody
all right.
worth
All right. We're there. We're here. We got
just,
it.
Yep. We had to talk my brain through that.
Yep. We got there. Step by step. We're here. But that's so true. And, you know, the bright spot of their team was kind of, you know, when looking at that team through the offseason and, you know, when preparing for this season for the Eagles and, you know, looking at the comparison between them and the Cowboys, the one thing that scared me the most was their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked really hard to put a really good defense together. And that's just honestly, you know, they draft linebackers better than
anybody
in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they've got some really good players there. Their secondary is not bad and they've got some good players on their D line. Like, that's a good looking defense. And through the first couple weeks of the season, they looked really good. And obviously they were playing crap teams, but they still looked really good. And they, you know, 3 games they were supposed to win that they did win,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's like looking at the Eagles and some of the games.
Some things they did not do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, their defense looked really good then. But the last couple weeks, their defense has not looked good at all. They lost, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but they've lost like three corners throughout the season. So that could hurt them.
Yeah, I want to find their injury report for today. The one from Thursday isn't up yet. So Anthony Brown, one of their corners, he didn't practice. Randall Cobb didn't practice. Lyle Collins didn't practice. Amari Cooper didn't practice. Michael Gallup was limited in practice. Byron Jones didn't practice. Their punter was limited in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there he goes. Sean Lee had has a knee issue, but fully practiced yesterday. I knew he'd show up on the injury report sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Martin had a limited practice yesterday. And Tyron Smith did not practice. So
Ooh. That's
a good number. So that's two of their starting corners that didn't practice. Both of their starting tackles and two of their top three receivers didn't practice, and one of them was limited in practice. So they've got some injuries.
They're hurt. Yeah.
But we do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not here for any of the injury excuses, because if we're not allowed to use them, they're not allowed to use them.
I agree.
And you know, Nigel Bradham didn't practice yesterday, with his ankle. Who knows what he's going to look like. Fletcher Cox was back to practice today. He was sick yesterday. Ronald Darby was limited yesterday. Deshaun didn't practice. Tim Jernigan didn't practice, but apparently is getting close.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
Avante Maddox didn't practice, but is without his neck brace. He's still in the concussion protocol, but the neck brace is gone. Jason Peters didn't practice, and Darren Sproles didn't practice. And those two we know are going to be out for a period of time.
Andre Dillard getting a start.
Andre Dillard
getting a start
this week. I'm really excited.
I think he's going to be something good.
I mean, we talked a lot about the game on Sunday. In our last episode, he did some good things and some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
He had some issues, but there were a couple drives where he really held his own. And granted, a lot of the pressure was coming from the left side anyway, and that was not always his fault. That was partly Isaac Seumalo in there as well. But I remember over the summer, I was at one of the training camp practices, and I tweeted a picture, and it was Andre Dillard and Jason Peters were basically attached to the hip all of training mm-hmm. camp. JP was coaching Andre Dillard up every single snap, talking to him after every single play. And I don't know if you saw the pictures that kind of came out from practice yesterday.
Yeah. He's right next to him.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah. I think that's exactly why they drafted Dillard right now, because they know JP's on his way out, mm-hmm. but obviously he's one of the greatest linemen in Eagles history. It's the actual perfect timing to have somebody with Dillard's like talent come in and learn from him. So I think last week, I mean, he's young. He's going to have slip-ups. He's not going to be perfect,
right.
You know. But then also it's different because he wasn't expecting really – I mean, you're always – when you're suited up, you like have to have the mindset, I might go in.
Right.
But like he wasn't really expecting it. Now he had the whole week to prepare with JP in his ear telling him what he did wrong, working on what he did wrong. He's got the talent. So
I agree.
I think knowing like him mentally being able to prepare himself, being coached all week, going into this knowing, and then also the added momentum of your first start coming against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. And something that I think people don't remember is, do you remember when JP tore his ACL and Vitae had to come in midway through that Redskins game? How unbelievably bad Vitae played in that game. But for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. it was fine.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, that was week 7, I think. I'm fairly positive that was week 6 or 7. That's when he had to come in, and his that first rest of the game was awful. But after that, I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Vitae.
With Vitae in it, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not worried. I'm excited to have him there. And it's, you know, I saw a tweet today that was kind of looking back on the Amari Cooper trade and, you know, everyone talking about how good that was for the Cowboys and people, you know, the Eagles were Eagles fans were disappointed that we didn't try to do that. But that first round pick is what got us Andre Dillard. And with like Jason Peters, who he played in all 16 games last year, but he didn't finish. I don't think he finished any of them. He might have finished a few, but we knew this was going to happen at some point. And we knew that, I mean, I think it's good that they didn't have JP retire and then draft a left tackle.
Yeah.
I think it's good that they're able to work him in because he's right there being able to talk to him the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, Howie's taken a lot of heat lately, but I think that's one of the things he did right was focusing on that because you have Carson. That should be a priority to keep that line strong.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you not get somebody that could learn under JP and like strengthen that whole part of it? And then, I mean, receivers come and go, man. I feel like each year there's always a top receiver that you can get. So if last year there were a lot of things wrong, they,
You know what I mean? It wasn't really realistic. So I feel like at that time they were like, no, like, we know to build in the future, this is what we need. And I think that game plan of Howie's actually worked.
So one of the biggest things that has been a problem with the Eagles right now is the fact that their offense has been very one-dimensional. It's been a very short offense. They're not able to stretch the field without Deshaun. They don't have that speed guy, because whether you want to call Nelson Agholor a speed guy or not, I mean,
he can't track a ball.
He's useless at this point. And, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, he might still be hurt, but he looks like, when you and I sat and watched the game on Sunday, we said as soon as he started to run, he looked like he was 85 years old out there trying to run. Why they have him running screens, I will never know. But one of the biggest issues is they're not getting any sort of jump off the line, and they're not getting any separation at all. The wide receivers aren't getting any separation. The tight ends are not getting any separation. The only person that's gotten any sort of separation is Miles Sanders, and you're going to be able to figure that out.
Yeah, because he's had success, but that's what I was going to say. How long can you be like, oh, he's their only threat right now? We're just going to keep him. So that will come to an end. But I have a question. Do you think, because you're right, like, they can't get any separation. Do you think a lot of that might be because of the new rules, like with pass interference and replay and that stuff, that they're kind of like, don't know how to play it yet without getting called?
Well, if that's the case, then they are the only team in the NFL that have that much of an issue.
Yeah,
because they're the only, I will say, one of the biggest parts of that new rule is the fact that they're putting such an emphasis on offensive pass interference. And had Mac Hollins made that catch in the end zone last week, I think he would have gotten called for OPI, because he pushed off mad hard. And I think that guys like a Mac Hollins genuinely doesn't know how to get open.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't think he knows how to get himself open.
Well, and also I think that's also, he's just not as talented as a lot of people in the NFL. So I think he needs that kind of as like a cheat code to make it fair.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just think so much of being a wide receiver is how you run your route, the angle that you get, how you're able
to track the ball.
To track the ball. And one of the biggest things is, like, you could be a 6'5 strong receiver, and there could be this 5'10 corner who just bodies you and
Edelman.
bothers you to the point where they can just beat you all game. You can be so much better and they'll still just beat you all game. And it's all a matter of the way you're running your routes, how crisp you're running your routes, if you're able to make your moves the way you're supposed to. And it's just, there's so much that goes into it. And I just feel like the combination of everything that's going on with our receivers, it's not happening. And I don't understand why even guys like veterans like Alshon or Zach Ertz aren't getting the separation. And even when they do get an inch of separation, then they don't catch the ball. So my question to you is, how do you think the fact that the Cowboys may be without their top two corners this weekend will impact that for the Eagles? Like, do you think they actually get separation on backup corners?
So that's my thing. I would hope, because I, off the top of my head, I don't know the Cowboys' backup corners. You know what I mean? So I don't know how they're going to perform. But if we, I will say, if we don't get the separation there with backup corners, I mean, I know Dallas's defense is like 12th in passing, so they're fairly decent. So I imagine they have fairly decent backups too, I'd imagine. But I mean, if they don't get any separation and it's still a big problem against backups, that's a huge red flag right there. Because even if Deshaun comes back, you can't only have Deshaun as the threat. Who are you going to have? Deshaun and Miles Sanders? Because nobody else can make anything?
Nobody else can catch a damn ball. I don't even know. Well, we talked about without Alshon Jeffrey and the difference when he came back, how he's just another body that they had to pay attention to. And that's,
he's still a threat, even if he's not performing like himself.
Right. And Deshaun's the same way. He's just another person you have to worry about. And that might help the rest of them get some separation. We talked about this on Tuesday, and it's going to still be a problem. We talked about, we're not concerned with the offense. We're just frustrated with the offense.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
They
like,
have
they're
so
not
much potential.
Doing their job.
Exactly. If you're leading the league in drops, you're not doing your job. You are a professional. Like, you catch balls for a living.
Yes.
And run.
Yes.
Be good at it. Catch a ball.
I don't even know what else to say about it. Like, I feel like it's been exhausted.
It
we
is.
We know what it is. Like, you know, they might be without their top two corners. Figure it out. Like, do anything. Anything.
Well, that's like, I think we brought it up on the morning show. Yeah, we did. About Tyreek Hill. He comes back. He made Patrick Mahomes look like a superstar. That was not a good throw.
No.
He had to jump 4 feet in the air to catch this ball.
He's a little guy.
He is little. And caught this ball and made Patrick Mahomes look like a superstar. If he didn't make it, okay, it's an overthrow by Mahomes, whatever, no big deal. But the fact he did that, everybody's like, Patrick Mahomes is awesome, you know?
The thing is, he's been playing very average lately. And if Carson Wentz was playing that average, the Eagles would be so much worse right now. Because Carson Wentz is still playing at a high level, but the players around him are not making any sort of play to elevate him. Like, you eliminate half of the drops. We're having a completely different conversation right now. And they're probably not sitting at 500.
I agree.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have any person in his arsenal of weapons that will go up and make a spectacular play for him.
I agree, yeah.
They screw up the everyday run-of-the-mill plays.
And every time, there was one instance last week where Aguilar tried to go downfield, and it was a nice deep ball. If he literally, we talked about it as it happened, he looked like he gave up on it.
Yes.
If he just tried to lay out or ran a little bit faster at the end of the route, he would have had it. But it's like he kind of just saw it like arching over his head and he was like, ah, no way.
And he got touched a little bit and then was like, ah. Oh, yeah.
And it was extremely catchable. And then also Ertz. I love Zach Ertz. But I feel like when Carson throws the ball a little high, which sometimes he has to do because you're covered. Like he's got a man on him.
Because so there's no separation.
Exactly. And I feel like Ertz is scared to take a shot to the ribs. So I don't know. Because he has had, like, rib
that
injuries.
That one in Atlanta was brutal.
But, like, so I don't know if he's still trying to nurse that, but he doesn't go up for a ball. And I think it's because he's afraid to get hit.
Yeah. Anybody wants to talk about, you know, I heard someone call in this morning that said something about, again, Alshon having a better rapport with Nick Foles. Well, Alshon scored plenty of touchdowns before Carson Wentz got hurt, including a ridiculous one that he caught with three of his fingertips on a fourth down that Carson Wentz threw on a torn ACL, by the way. And one of the balls that Alshon dropped on Sunday was the exact ball that he dropped in the NFC Divisional round playoff in New Orleans.
Speaking of Alshon, did you see our guys, Bleeding Green Nation, shout out to you! But they posted, it was Kiss. He tweeted out the video of Alshon, where he beat him downfield, caught him downfield. Like, people were actually trying to blame Carson for that, saying he threw it out.
He didn't.
And let him out. No, he was running straight down, caught it, had a straight pass to the end zone, just lost his balance.
And I will tell you this right now. My boyfriend was a wide receiver in high school. He was a wide receiver in college. And he is the wide receiver coach for a high school right now. When that happened, he said, oh, that's a hard play to make. It took him out of bounds. He watched that again with me on Monday, and he goes, yeah, that didn't lead him out of bounds at all.
Not at all.
And I went, it dropped exactly. And for a professional NFL wide receiver, be better.
And
be
then,
better.
And that goes to our thing. Like, people blame Carson for that. Because when you do just watch it and don't actually pay attention, you're just watching to watch the game.
Right.
You see that, and you're like, oh, man, Carson. Like, Carson's your blame person.
Right.
If you actually pay attention to it, there's no reason he should have won out.
Right.
By the way, I do want to note, you said that Mahomes is an average quarterback. Before people come at us on Twitter, I think he is very above average.
No, I think he's very, very above average, too. Okay, he's been playing average these last 2 weeks. He's not been playing well these last 2 weeks. And
which is true. Okay.
And his arsenal of weapons has helped lift him up. But they've lost the last 2 weeks at home.
You're right.
No, I do not think Patrick Mahomes is average at all. I think he is spectacular.
You said that, and I was like, oh, wait, I just want to not be lumped in that one.
No, I do not think he's average. I think he has played very average these last few weeks. And things like you said, that was a terrible ball. Tyreek Hill went up and made
him
play.
Look good.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
We don't.
We don't
besides
Miles have
Sanders.
That.
Mick Sanders.
Besides
he did go
besides Miles Sanders. And I mean, here's the thing. Is Carson Wentz perfect? No. Has he had a perfect season? No. Has he missed guys? Has he made mistakes? Has he held the ball too long? Has he overthrown guys? Has he thrown behind guys? Sure. But at the end of the day, as a professional football player making millions and millions and millions of dollars, if you have to have a ball hit you straight in the hands in front of you while you're standing still and there's still only a 50% chance that you make that catch, we have a bigger issue here. That's not Carson Wentz. At the end of the day, some of these behind them passes, a little bit outside, overthrown. Someone has to make a play on those at some point. At some point, it can't just be like, it was behind me.
You're not wrong. And then also, Carson, he has like his complete, I don't know his exact like completion rate right now, but he's 61%, dropping.
61%, I think. I think it's what I just saw, but I have to look. Yeah, 61%.
And the insane thing about that is watching the games, there are probably 4 or 5 max times where an incomplete ball is his fault.
I can tell you 5 of the incompletions were drops on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what
hit them in the hands, drops. At
least
5.
That's what's nuts about it. I think he's like leading the league or he's like second or something in incompletion rate, which is not like they always say like stats lie, you have to watch a game. And that's one of the things that.
Yeah.
Because that's where those people that don't know anything about football, they're like, Carson sucks. Look at his completions.
People are stupid. And they wish that Carson Wentz was their quarterback. Because at the end of the day, he's going to be the one to... But think about it. He's the one making the spectacular plays. The pocket collapses. He looks like he's going to be sacked. He dips out of it and runs out completion. And then, you know, his wide receiver screws it up on the next play. And then all of a sudden, they're 2nd and 10. And then the line lets up. And that he gets sacked on 3rd down and that's all over. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, someone else has to step up. It can't constantly be Carson.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
It's so frustrating, but I hope they can correct it against Dallas. With they're a little banged up in the secondary. I'm hoping that that
helps. Jalen Mills comes back.
Woo! We'll talk about that. We have to take a break first.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Like, okay, sad kid. Okay.
Don't be sad. So we can give you, look, we have to take a break so we can give you all the time in the world to talk about Jalen Mills.
I think you mean you all the time in the world to talk about
Jalen
Mills.
Because
you
love
Jalen Mills.
I do, and I'm very excited.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Eagles' defense versus Dallas' offense and what that has to do. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in to Babes on Broad. So, Sam, before we went to break, we started to kind of hint at what we're going to talk about in this segment, and that is the Eagles' defense. And most excitingly, because nothing else exciting is going on with the Eagles' defense, we're getting Jalen Mills back this week. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I'm just happy because anything helps at this point, you know?
We might not have to see Sidney Jones on the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, obviously Jalen Mills is an extreme upgrade from Sidney Jones. But then also, I mean, like, I like him for our options. But if I had the choice, I would not be like, go sign Jalen Mills.
Woo, Jalen Mills.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's the best out of our options. So that excites me.
I just think people didn't appreciate what we did have when they're screaming about who they want in a perfect world. And I get it, like a true lockdown corner like a Jalen Ramsey, and we'll talk about that, is, you know, hard to find and they don't happen all the time anymore. You still have to be able to, obviously, like if the person can't play corner, like you need to find someone else. But
yeah,
when there are guys that are efficient enough that get the job done well enough, You have to just not freak out constantly. So I think people were just not super smart in their comments last year about wanting Jalen Mills gone, wanting Jalen Mills bench, because at the end of the day...
Like, weigh your options.
Yeah, and so there are things that are... Could it be partly Jim Schwartz defense? Maybe. But then there's also the... What he does in between the 20s? I don't care. He was locked down in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what... I mean, look at two of the touchdowns from last week. Look at two of the four touchdowns from against the Vikings. A lockdown red zone corner is what we were missing in those situations.
Yeah. I mean, we had Craig James in red zone on Stephon Diggs. And it was the easiest looking pass in the world to just bop it right over Craig James' head, right into Stephon Diggs' arms.
Sidney Jones got beat on a double move with 3 yards to the end zone. I didn't even know that was enough room to get beaten on a double move. I didn't even know that was possible. And Sidney Jones proved me wrong. And then didn't even try to get a hand up on that ball or anything.
He was just embarrassed at that point.
Jalen Mills would have played that differently. Now
he has heart. He plays
heart. He does. And we talked about this too. A little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Doesn't
you need to.
Amnesia. Pure amnesia. The entire time.
But you need that.
You need that.
Any professional athlete needs that. Any athlete needs that.
Jalen Mills, I have never seen hang his head. I was talking to Rob Motti about this the other day, and he said, Sidney Jones walks around the locker room like he has the weight of the world on his shoulder. Like, he has been tasked with solving, like, with finding world peace and solving world hunger, and that's all he is allowed to think about. Jalen Mills hasn't played in a year and walks around like he owns the damn place. And that's the difference in what we need on the field.
Yeah. I like his comments a lot about saying how it's like the first day of school, like how excited he's been to get out there. It's had to be rough for him sitting on the sideline.
Oh, my
like,
God. Yeah.
Dude. And
especially after not knowing how bad it was going to be, like getting one diagnosis and then it just being worse.
Yeah. But I mean, that goes into play with the Jacina Anderson report.
Yeah.
The locker room, what the guys think about.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that yet, obviously, only a couple hours after we recorded our episode this week, earlier, Jalen Ramsey was traded to the Rams for 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick. And obviously, it was extremely disappointing for a lot of people in Philly because the assumption is, and pretty much confirmed by Adam Schefter, that Philadelphia, the Eagles were not going to offer
that
much.
They thought it wasn't worth it.
They weren't going to offer those draft picks.
Which means that they definitely had no intention of signing him for a big contract for an extension or whatever. Because they have the draft picks. I have it written somewhere. They have, I'm going to say off the top of my head because I can't find it in my notes, even though I thought I highlighted it. Oh, here it is. So the Eagles.
It is highlighted, by the way.
Yeah. So the Eagles have 2 third-round picks, 2 fourth-round picks, and 3 fifth-round picks in 2020. You're going to tell me you plan to draft all of those people next season.
Probably not. And I guarantee you maybe one of them will
work out. So there's no way they couldn't give up a better trade package. So that just shows me they thought it wasn't worth it because they don't want to sign him long term.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see what the Rams end up doing because they have Goff under that contract. They have Aaron Donald under that contract.
Yeah, man,
they have
how Todd Gurley. These
like,
they,
I have no idea, but we'll see what happens there. But either way, so, you know, obviously kind of a sore subject with Philly fans right now. It's frustrating that you see how bad your secondary is and you know that guy can be moved. You know what it's going to take and you don't pull the trigger on it. And that goes back to kind of the blind trust thing that we were talking about. But basically,
I want to note, you guys didn't hear this because the last episode, our great producer, Mike Kist, edited it out. But we did talk about, we were like, yeah, like, the way that things happened last week, we think he's going to get traded now. Like, we actually think, even though they said they're not going to trade him.
We did.
And what happened?
Sam said that.
Yeah, but I did think it was going to be the Eagles, so I was wrong on that part. But I just wanted to state that.
That you're smarter than most people? I agree. Basically, there was a quote from Jacina Anderson that came out from an unnamed Eagles player that said...
Unnamed, wink, wink.
Unnamed, wink, wink. There are two names being swirled around. We don't know who it was officially, but there are a couple players that have openly spoken with her in the past and used her as a mouthpiece in the past. Basically said, the Eagles as an organization dropped the ball on that one. more in more or less words saying, look at the way we performed on Sunday. Look at what we have right now. Mm-hmm. If you have the option to do that, you do whatever it takes to get that.
Which I agree with.
I don't disagree. Any draft picks I was in support of sending.
Me too.
Send them. Draft picks, send them. It was like
they suck at drafting.
If it involved like a Zach Ertz or somebody, no, I was more reserved on that. Yeah. But
draft picks,
go.
Take them.
Go on. Take them all. Take I don't care if they have zero picks in the draft this year. I don't care. No. Someone will figure it out. Figure it out. But so that's extremely disappointing. And
I mean, I understand they might not have thought it was worth it in the long term. I feel like that just shows that you have not much faith in this team and what you have already. If you think a top talent like that won't even help you go to the Super Bowl, and if you do think that that would have been the difference and you still didn't do it, shame on you and you're an idiot.
I think there's two ways this could go. It's either that way and it's, oh, even that's not going to help us, which is more or less a if we don't, another if we don't, we don't kind of thing. Like what?
Who else said that?
Oh, I don't know. Someone, another president of a team that is stupid. I'm so frustrated with them, and we will talk about them later. So it's either that or it's an overconfidence in getting back Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Cravon LeBlanc, getting Tim Jernigan back, and
it molding together at the right time.
Yes.
It better be.
I don't know which one.
It better be the second.
I don't know which one it is, and I don't know which one's right.
I will be furious if it's the same situation as Klentak, and they're just like, we're going with what we got. Nothing else is going to help. I will be furious.
I agree, and I honestly, so I obviously wanted Jalen Ramsey. I never thought that the Eagles were actually going to get Jalen Ramsey because it's so uncharacteristic for the Eagles to land that big splash guy. It's going to be another Jay Ajayi, Golden Tate if they make a move, which I predicted that Golden Tate trade, by the way.
So do you think it's going to be like a Chris Harris or something? Like they don't
see the
Broncos trading
it? I think it might even be somebody that has not even been brought up in conversation yet.
Okay.
Not even been brought up in conversation. Golden Tate was not mentioned in any single trade.
You're right.
Talk. Yeah. Neither was Jay Ajayi. And all of a sudden, here they are. For nothing.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there is a trade that happens somewhere, they're going to wait until they get Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby back.
Evaluate.
And possibly
Cravon
LeBlanc.
They only have 2 weeks left, though. Two games.
What is it? What's the deadline? 26th or something? 29th?
29th.
That sounds right.
26th is a Saturday, so it wouldn't be that. So it would be the 29th. Because then it's 27th. Yeah, but it would be a Tuesday, the 29th. Are we right?
It literally just says October. It says the NFL trade deadline is October. See, that doesn't help at all.
I think it's the 29th.
29th, yes.
Oh,
so smart. So, yeah, it's the 29th. I think it's going to be closer to that. They're going to see what they can get from Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby this week, and then I think make a decision. They're going to kind of – they're going to determine where Mills, Darby, and LeBlanc are, additionally determine where Deshaun is, and see if they can value which is more important, what they need more, offense or defense, and see kind of go from there. That's what I think they're going to do. It's not going to be some big splash. That's so uncharacteristic for the Eagles, so uncharacteristic for Howie. I don't think I can use my prediction powers anymore because I already mentally cut Zach Brown and then that happened. But other than that, I don't think I have anything else left. I think I've maxed out. So yeah. I can't predict this one. Sorry.
Real quick, before we do predictions.
Sounds good.
We talked about how we're going to talk about the Cowboys offense, but they're so irrelevant, we didn't even talk about them.
Dak sucks.
Dak sucks. Amari Cooper.
Probably won't play.
Gallup is injured. He was limited during practice, which is a big thing because he's been one of their receivers. Jason Witten's a big key. So watch him. Hopefully they
he's
can shut down
killed
him.
Us.
I know. And he's been killing it this year for his age. Like he's just doing way,
and
performing way over what I expected. I think the key to this, I'm kind of leading into my prediction right now. Key to this, stopping Zeke.
Yes.
Because the Saints, they stopped Zeke. And they held him to no touchdowns, the Cowboys, by stopping Zeke.
That is true.
He only had 45 yards. It's the only game that he had under 100 rushing yards. So the key, stop Zeke. Don't give up the long ball. And I'm going to say, it's going to be close because it's rival. So I'm going to say 27-24 Eagles.
Wasn't that your score prediction last week, too?
It didn't work.
It didn't work. I still think it's
but
ironic
you know what?
That they
if I say 27-24 enough, It will work.
One day it'll happen.
If you believe it enough. No, I actually do think that for this week.
Yeah, I think the fact that both of their tackles probably won't play is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I mean, Randall Cobb didn't play last week. He didn't practice again yesterday. We'll see when their injury report comes out today what that kind of looked like there. Hopefully Amari Cooper doesn't play because he's killed us. He killed us last year. It was just aggressive. Yeah. Aggressive.
I'm counting him out, but if he plays, I will kind of be shutter shocked. Like, oh shoot.
That's Jalen Mills' job.
Yeah.
If that happens. Listen, I'm really counting on Jim Schwartz making some adjustments. I'm counting on the Eagles going in with a really good offensive game plan. I'm going into this thinking that they're going to prepare for it and be locked in and prepared the way that they were for the Packers game. That was a must win for them very early in the season. This is another must win very early in the season. And, you know, it doesn't get much better than this. Both with the same record, Sunday night football, mid-October, trying to figure out, you know, still trying to figure out their identities as teams. You know, I think Dak's not this world beater. He's not. He's dependable. He's going to stay healthy.
Same thing that we were saying about Mahomes. He's had people help him out.
Yes.
You have Amari Cooper you don't need.
I actually thought it was really interesting today. Emmanuel Acho, who played for the Eagles years ago, he this morning, I believe it was on GetUp, said, Dak's like just like a regular car. It'll get you where you need to go. It'll always be there. It'll always be running well, and it'll always get you from point A to point B, and sometimes it'll do a little bit better for you than you thought. Carson Wentz is like a sports car where he's going to just be flashy. He's going to give you these spectacular world-beating performances. He may break down sometimes and get hurt because of that, but would you rather drive that or a sports car?
That's a perfect analogy.
I like that. And obviously I didn't explain it as eloquently as he did.
Well, yeah.
It's very, I'll retweet it. I thought it was a very good comparison. And listen, Dak's a serviceable quarterback in the NFL. He's a reliable quarterback in the NFL, but he's not Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
I need Carson Wentz's weapons to step up and make plays for him this week. I feel like they let him down too much last season, and they've let him down too much in six games. They need to step up, but I think that the defensive line is going to be one of the biggest factors in this game to make sure that Carson Wentz and the offense can do what they do and not have to worry about bringing them back from a deficit.
Yeah.
That is my biggest thing, and I'm going a little bit different on my prediction because I think people step up this week.
Ooh.
The Eagles are going to win 36-22. That's my prediction.
Wow.
They're going to shut those boys down in Jerry World.
I like it.
Dak sucks.
Okay, so we're going to send you guys into our second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Phillies, some of their options, little bit of managerial talk around the league, and then our food and recipe and drink of the week, and some of your questions. So we are Babes on Broad, brought to you by BGN Radio.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to Babe on Broth. I was going to serenade you guys a little bit, and I couldn't do it. Couldn't bring myself to
it. She was singing to me during our break, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, so maybe you guys will get lucky enough, and I'll be super even more comfortable to sing to you soon. But before we went to break, we were talking about, well, we kind of teased that we would talk about the Phillies. They had a press conference. Kind of old news now, but we're still not over it. And then
I'm not over that press conference at all.
Yeah.
I still don't actually know what was talked about in the press conference. Not one single question was answered.
He had an attitude the whole time.
In case anyone didn't know, John Middleton is the CEO. That's the biggest takeaway. He had such an attitude. It was like a question and like it was not really answered. And then the next question, attitude.
Yeah.
And like
looking off at his phone and in the air.
Yeah, he was looking at his phone. Now, I think he was looking up stats, but why didn't you have that? Like, they weren't prepared for this press conference, and they, like, weren't prepared for the questions that anyone could have told you they would have gotten. Like, it was very poorly done, and they all just came off arrogant, and it just kind of showed that the Phillies are in trouble, and yeah. I'm very concerned about this team going forward.
I agree. So this kind of leads in with who they're bringing in. So when I heard that, I was very nervous for where they were going, especially after declaring that Klintak would be finding the next manager because we saw how that worked out.
Yep. But who also adamantly said, I did not want to fire Gabe Kapler. This was John's decision. I was against it. I did not want to fire Gabe. This was John's decision. Yeah. Blamed it all on John Middleton. But yet he's still the one that's about to lead the set. I don't know.
So I was very nervous about that. But then it came out either Sunday night or Monday. I don't remember. But came out that they had three interviews for this week. They had Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, and Dusty Baker. So that made me feel a little bit better. I mean, the only one that made me feel better was Joe Girardi. Because I'll do him. Especially because if you haven't heard, now you know, Joe Maddon went to the Angels.
Yep.
Which, shocker. Not really.
Yeah. And, I knew that was happening.
Yeah, so I'd be fine with Joe Girardi. And then it comes out recently that Joe Girardi has a second interview.
Apparently he's very interested in this Phillies position.
So that makes me feel a lot better because he's opposite, I feel, of Gabe in a lot of ways. In the fact that
he's like the anti-Gabe.
He'll speak up. He has experience. You know, so I think that's big.
Yeah. First of all, I'm very happy that how long they took with this. Now, the way that they were answering questions in the press conference absolutely showed me why it took so long to fire Gabe Kapler. I'm happy that as long as it took them, it didn't hinder Gabe like getting interest from anywhere else. Cubs, Giants, you know, he's gotten interest for a manager position.
Yeah,
so,
good for Gabe.
Yeah, I'm happy for Gabe because I really just think he was a scapegoat, the sacrificial lamb that someone had to go and...
He's the face of it.
Yeah, so he's the one. So I'm with you there. I think Joe Girardi is the most interesting candidate there. You know, has the World Series experience, has the playoff experience. And I think that's really necessary for a person coming into a team that as a whole, I mean, none of these players have playoff experiences outside of Jake Arrieta. The rest of them don't.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, like the...
You're right.
Think about it. JT is the best catcher in baseball, but
he was with the Marlins.
and rest now, of them, young guys from here. I mean, Bryce, you saw what the Nationals did in the playoffs until now. Nothing.
Which is ridiculous that literally their only reason that they're going to the World Series is based on Bryce Harper leaving them still. That's like their motivation. That's ridiculous. Get over it. McCutcheon. McCutcheon was with the Pirates, but then he was with the Yankees for a little bit, and then he was out in Cali. With the Giants? It was Giants, right?
Yeah.
So maybe with the Yankees, but he wasn't there long.
Yeah, he wasn't there long. He was just there 1 year, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if he got playoff experience in that.
A little bit with the Yankees.
So 1 year with the Yankees?
I believe. I feel like there's no way the Pirates didn't make any playoffs when he was there. But I'll have to do more research.
No, he won the All-Star of the Year or MVP of the Year or whatever with the Pirates, but he didn't. Yeah. They didn't have a good team around him.
I have no idea, but for the most part, they just have such a young team. They don't have playoff experience. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it takes, the grind that it takes, and the mindset, mentality, performance. Like, they don't know what goes into having that. And if you remember, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, one of the things that they talked about that was so helpful was having Chris Long, was having LeGarrette Blount.
The experience.
Was having certain guys, Torrey Smith, who had Super Bowl winning experience, mm-hmm. knew what it took to get there and what they were going to have to do to, you know, get to their ultimate goal. And based on watching the playoffs, like, the Phillies are worlds behind the Braves and worlds behind yeah. the Nationals, and something has to change, and I hope that, I mean, a new manager can do that.
And Joe Girardi, he is a takes-no-nonsense guy, so I like that. He'll kick him into shape, hopefully. Do you think Charlie Manuel will be back as the hitting coach? Because that would add more playoff
I don't
experience.
Think so. I would love him to. I think they put him back in his role as a senior advisor, and yeah. I think he probably ends up staying there, unless, you know, it hits the fan all over again.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they collapse in September again next year. Who knows?
Okay. Recipe of the week.
Yeah, so that's the Phillies. The Phillies, who knows what's going on. Hopefully by next week we'll have a manager to talk about.
Yeah.
Food and drink for the week.
We're getting festive!
Fall festive. Super excited. So, since it's a late game and it's fall, finally, weather, and it's right now it's super windy outside. It sounds like a tree is going to come down in my apartment. But we're going to make a crock pot caramel apple dip, which I'm super excited about. It's literally just apples, caramel, which I actually made today, and I'm definitely just going to make it again on Sunday, and a tablespoon of pumpkin spice, and you just put it in the crock pot and then just eat it with there's like cinnamon sugar.
The sticks kind of thing?
Yeah. And they have like cinnamon sugar pita chips too. I'm going to get a thing of those.
Oh my gosh. It's
fire.
So good.
Fire.
I'm excited.
We can enjoy it with a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, that's our drink of the week is a pumpkin spice latte. Because
I've never had a pumpkin spice latte.
What?
I'm the worst basic white girl ever.
Okay, so here's my thing. Super big fan of the peppermint mocha lattes.
Peppermint mocha.
Like around Christmas time. That's my flavor. Pumpkin spice, I'll probably have like two a year. I've seriously never had one.
Joe's had them. Joe loves them.
We're just going with that this week because it's a night game, so you're going to need to stay up.
Yes.
You have to wake up early, so you can't get wasted. At least we can't.
You know, I can't get wasted.
So we're just going to go your favorite brand pumpkin spice latte.
Do it. I'm going to try to make one. We'll see how it goes. So we only got two Twitter questions this week. So the first one, do you think the Eagles caught whatever disease the Phillies were putting out there? Because it sure does seem like the same thing's happening to this team in different ways.
We kind of already talked about this. If Howie is
got
doing
the Klentak.
Yeah, the Klentak attack. if Howie does the same thing, and the reason he didn't get Ramsey was kind of like a Klentak in June, where he's like, we're going with what we have because we're too
if
far.
If we don't, we don't.
Kinda, yeah. I will flip my stuff.
Flipping tables.
Yeah, but I hope he's not. It's too soon to tell for me. What do you think?
I'm with you. I hope not. I hope not.
Cause we'll see after the trade deadline.
Yeah, we'll. I'm gonna give Howie some because Howie's always working, so I'll just. I'm not gonna make a judgment until I got all the information in front of me. And the next one, can Nelson Agholor find a way to become a more featured part of this offense again?
I think his biggest thing we hit on it already is he has the speed to be a deep threat. He cannot track a ball. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like he loses sight of it or he just in his head's like, or in his head, he's just like, man, that's too far gone, not realizing how fast he is. I don't know, but he needs to be able to track the ball.
Yeah, he's not done very good with that. I will say he's a really good blocking receiver. For mm-hmm. example, if you look at the 17 screenplays they ran to Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Collins, like, didn't get a hand on anybody at that point, and Nelson's always been relatively decent at that. You know, everyone misses blocks here and there, but, like, he's always been pretty good with that. I don't know. When it comes to having as a receiver, receiving the ball, I don't know. Honestly, that's my theory of why they're not playing J.J. Arcega-Whiteside more. The whole, like...
Why? They want...
Because they drafted him to be, like... And they're like they talk about cross training him at different positions, but they're mm-hmm. like, oh well, he's only gonna play if Alshon goes down for some reason, God forbid. I think that's complete BS.
Yeah.
And I think they don't want him to get the Nelson Agholor or the Markelle Fultz.
The mental.
They don't want him to get that problem because they don't.
That's a good theory.
That's my theory.
I like that.
That's complete crap, and they want to make sure that that doesn't happen to him. Yeah. They don't want him to get the Markelle Fultz.
This might be insensitive of me, but if that's you, get over it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? If that actually happens, like...
Figure it out.
Yeah, that's strange.
Short-term
memory. You're a grown man and you...
Short-term memory.
I understand it happens, but...
But, like...
If it's, like, a reason for you to be soft to your new players, come on.
Yeah. And, yeah, I... That's my theory, though. I just really hope that the Eagles offense can pull it together this week. Everyone needs to locked in. Both sides of the offensive line, not just one side. You know, the receivers need to catch the ball. It makes a huge difference. There needs to be no better play calling, not stupid play calling, creative play calling, but not ignorant play calling. Yeah. And the defense just has to be better, straight up. I don't know if it's from Jim Schwartz or from just the execution.
Lack of
needs
talent.
To be better.
Yeah. We'll see. They have people coming back, so hopefully.
Well, with that, Dallas sucks.
Dallas sucks! Dak sucks! Cowboys suck!
Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah.
Dak sucks. Dallas sucks. Cowboys suck. Jerry Jones sucks. They all suck.
Jerry World sucks. Just kidding. I actually heard that's a nice area. Nice stadium.
Yeah, I heard it's gorgeous.
Yeah. But that's the only place they have.
They suck. But anyway, so thank you to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Babes on Broad. Try our recipes. Post pictures of them and send them to us and let us know if you enjoy them or if you totally screw them up and we can see if we can help you with that. Definitely try our drink recipes because we haven't had a bad one yet.
No.
They've all been good. I guess we'll have to spike that pumpkin spice latte a little
bit. Let's spike it. We're fixing that spiked pumpkin spice. But don't do it too hard because Monday mornings are already rough.
We can get like, I'm sure they've got like.
Kahlua, dude. That's coffee liquor. Kahlua.
We can do that. Let's do that. So, pumped. Now I'm excited. All right, let's go. Make sure you head over to wherever you listen to our podcast. Search Bleeding Green Nation. You can find us there. Give us a 5-star rating, review, share the show. Don't forget to visit our store. We just had that new shirt go up this week.
Hungry babes run faster!
Love it. You can get some crew neck hoodies, which we definitely have to get up and some other things too because they look comfy.
They do. I got one.
Oh, I can't wait. I have to see it when you get it. Yeah, and definitely get yourself a Babe Squad shirt. All that kind of good stuff. The one for my brother just got here today. So when my mom goes over to visit him before we all go over, I'm going to send him with her so she can take some pictures in front of places. But from myself and Sam, we're the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio. We'll see you next week. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Babes on Broad.
BGN.